Blog Talk Radio.
Go!
Vaccines are required for students, employees, immigrants, military members, and international travel. Do you know how to legally avoid them? This is vaccine rights attorney and Freedomizer radio host Alan Phillips. My vaccine exemption ebook can help you avoid the mistakes that have cost others their exemption rights. Get the authoritative guide to vaccine legal exemptions, an ebook available at freedomizerradio.com and vaccinerights.com.
Let freedom ring throughout the land.
Did you know that every time you swipe your debit card, those behind-the-scenes transaction fees make the big banks even richer? In 2016 alone, these fees added up to $60 billion. Yes, that's billion with a B. Well, what if there was a way to have the convenience of a debit card, but reroute those fees from the banksters to organizations actually doing good in the world? Organizations that protect the environment or feed hungry children? What if your swipes could literally change the world? Well, Groundswell SPC has found a way to do just that. We've designed a Visa debit card program that shares transaction fees with your favorite cause. Groundswell partners with nonprofit organizations that promote the card to their supporters. Their supporters then use the card to power the mission of the nonprofit. It's a win-win-win for everyone, except the big banks, of course. Groundswell is about to launch its first cards into market, and we're inviting you to be part of this movement as an investor in the company. Go to wefunder.com/groundswellcard to learn more. Set up a free WeFunder account and invest in Groundswell today and get your money on mission.
How would you like to make your work more enjoyable, be more creative and relaxed, all while sitting at your desk? That's exactly what my Serenity Rug has done for me. This revolutionary footrest, I can't even call it a footrest, because this thing encourages movement of your feet, which results in more blood flow. While traditional footrests advocate the motionless placement of your feet, I found that I'm unconsciously digging my feet into the long, soft grass strands of the Serenity Rug. It delivers an incredibly relaxing sensation that closely resembles the feeling of an exotic foot massage. If you have ever had a foot massage that made you want to stay there for hours, you know what I'm talking about. If you have not heard about the Serenity Rug, check them out at serenityrug.com and join the exclusive Serenity Rug community and enjoy a feeling of comfort and relaxation that most will never experience. They've sold out before, so I suggest you do your feet a favor and grab one of these. Again, that's serenityrug.com.
Sunday, starting at 7:30 p.m. Expand your mind, develop your consciousness. Great conversation, great advice, and great fun. Counterculture-wise radio, only on freedomizerradio.com. We're on to you. Are you on to yourself?
All right. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the BIL radio show. This is Proof Negative. I got all kinds of stuff going on right now, but I have not, unfortunately, been able to get anyone to call in. So I either have to do the show or I get to refund sponsors their money back, which I'm not trying to do right now. But I have someone any minute coming by to get this house appraised. And I can't be on the show and have somebody appraising my house for me at the same time, but nobody else is available right this second. So, unfortunately, I am here. And anyway, if anybody wants to be a part of the show, it would really help me out here. The number here is 319-527-6208, and just press 1 to dial in. I guess at the last second, I will find things to discuss here so that we actually have a show and it's not just somebody filling time. However, I know there's a lot of first-timers out there. I know that there's a lot of people that are looking forward to being members of what we're doing and getting involved. And, well, I guess if somebody comes here and they knock on the door, I'm going to have to ignore it so that I can do the show, unfortunately. And I got kicked out. No, I didn't. All right, I'm trying to leave the host queue open. And let me tell them. All right, leaving the host queue open so you can dial in and be the lead. All right, there we go. All right. So anyway, people have been asking about the VIP memberships. We've had the soft open already. The hard open will be as soon as we get trained. The web team has to show all of us what they've done, and we have to know where all the widgets and buttons and everything goes. We have to get the first drafts of the cards completed. Hopefully this week that will happen. I'm still waiting on the bumper stickers to come in the mail. So I'm hoping within the next 10 to 14 days we start shipping out products. So I know there are people that don't know about the VIP membership yet because, well, we have new people all the time. We have people that unfortunately don't get to read us on a regular basis. So we're trying to professionalize what we're doing. And we need obviously two things. We need to make sure that people are comfortable doing what we do and getting involved and knowing the advocacy. And, of course, we need funding so that we can get the mission forwarded. So we're doing the membership, and everything's going to be on our website, barefootislegal.org, where it's $49.95 a year. If you want to do the monthly, it's $4.95 a month, but the yearly gets you a T-shirt, a handful of business cards. It gives you a bumper sticker. And, oh, come on. Wait, hold on. Ah, damn it. Hold on. There we go. All right. I think that was my fault. All right. So anyway, the business cards, not the business cards, the VIP cards. On the front, it'll have everybody's picture to barefoot shot of somebody in a store. It'll have our logo. It'll have your name and location, not your address, just city and state, and your member number. And on the back, we'll have, of course, our toll-free number, our website. It'll have some writing that we put on there, and it will have a QR code that people can scan in. And so when somebody approaches you, you can feel confident taking out your VIP card, and you could show them there's a QR code, and it'll have the information for your particular state so that when people say it's against health department, you can pull that out and show them it's not. So Tiffany made it in. Welcome in, Tiffany.
I finally made it in.
I have to apologize to the free world out there. I gave you the BIL number and not the Blog Talk number. I'm in a rush trying to clean a whole bunch of stuff at once, and I gave you the wrong phone number.
I was just glad I finally made it in. So.
Okay. Yeah, so my house appraiser will be here anywhere between 11 and 1. It's 10:52 now. I still have carpet shampooing that I have been doing since last night. And I mean, if I have to be here, I would be here. But if somebody could take my place, I could check in every few minutes, but I can't sit here and share articles and all that other stuff right now.
Absolutely. I can take care of that. Oh, you played a commercial already. Thank you, Dave, because I do not know how to do that.
Well, don't
so
forget,
I
go by Proof in these neck of the woods.
Oh, I apologize. Thank you.
That's all right. All right. So you'll notice on the right-hand side of the studio, if you have your studio up, all the ads should be on the right. And then when you take your breaks, you just keep in your head between the radio shows, because once you start your own show, you'll have your own commercial.
Mm-hmm.
And you go through the ads that we have.
Okay. Let me see if I can find the ads.
There's three columns on the studio. There's the left, which has all of our phone numbers, and there's a caller. I'm going to have you bring them on in just a second. In the middle just has the promote type stuff, and then the third row has audio clips, and you just play anything that says ad.
Okay. Let's see. I'm not seeing any of that. I don't know if it's just because I'm on. Oh, yay. I see the audio clips down at the bottom, I believe.
Okay.
Here we go.
All right. So we already did that, so you don't have to press anything now. Just
okay,
tell everybody about yourself and what you bring to our BAL community, and then we can bring our Arizona caller in. I think I know who it is, but I want you to be able to let everybody know who you are first.
Okay. Well, so hi out there in the Freedomizer world. My name is Tiffany, and I have been enjoying the barefoot lifestyle for about 8 years now. I first discovered it. I kept seeing, you know, these Facebook ads for a book called Earthing by Clint Ober. And I downloaded the book on my Kindle, read it, and I thought, oh, that's why I enjoy going barefoot all the time and why I always feel better when, you know, I stand in the ocean and things like that. And the book just made a lot of sense to me as to why certain things make you feel better when you're out in nature and things like that. Very shortly after finishing the book, I reached out to the Society for Barefoot Living, joined them, and that's actually where I met Proof. And then when he started his group, I signed up for his group within about a minute because I just fit in a little better with his group. So, and gosh, Dave, you and I kind of chat on and off, you know, here and there occasionally about barefooting and oils and other things. So,
And the radio show, of course. You're going to have your own show here as soon as you get through this crash course in training.
Yes, I'm looking forward to that. I'm anxiously awaiting
we're
supposed to be getting.
Normally life is not a train wreck, but if I don't get this house appraised, I'm going to have a lot of trouble on my hands, and I need to make sure gets done. Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, good luck with that.
So I'm going to leave myself open here, and I'll put myself in mute. But, of course, I'm still trying to train you in between doing stuff. So if you can look at the switchboard, and just in case there's no one here, you'll have to share some experiences, thoughts, whatever, on the BIL and the lifestyle. And first, if you see a question mark, that means that somebody has called our phone number, which is 319-527-6208, and they pressed 1. So go ahead and where they have the blue listening button, turn that red.
Turn that red, okay. So I push it?
Yes, and welcome them onto the show.
Okay, let's try this.
Hi, this is Suzanne.
Hi, I hope you can hear me. Welcome to the show.
I can hear you great. So I'm Suzanne, and I run the Mad Scientist Exposed show, but I'm on the web team for the Barefoot is Legal and the Freedomizer site.
Thank you,
so
Suzanne.
I'm in a pinch right now,
I really can't sit here. And my other option was to give people 2 free weeks of advertising now that we have
sponsors, or
I had to send money back, which I didn't really want to do. But
I don't really want to do that either.
So, anyway, the bennies of the Barefoot Legal membership levels are spelled out right on the Barefoot is Legal website. And I guess I made a mistake. I spelled that out better to the incoming customers than to the people that need to fulfill the orders, because the annual membership, you get a T-shirt with it and stuff like that. And the site is already automated so that the people signing up can upload their picture of themselves barefoot, so it's a head-to-toe picture, and that gets embedded in their ID card. So it's only the annual membership gets the snail mail products like that. The other people get benefits in the website itself, you know, participating
right.
in the forums. And, there is a free level just for the newsletter.
Yeah, so the monthlies, they don't get the freebies like the T-shirt and all that other stuff. They get their ID card, and they get the website access, but they don't get the freebies that we are sending out. So, Suzanne, are you able to keep the studio up so that Tiffany doesn't feel overwhelmed?
Oh, yeah, I have the studio up, actually, and there's another caller after me, and I don't know that I can stay on for the whole show. But,
no, that's all right. I'll be checking in back and forth, but it's just that when the appraiser's here, I can't really do much.
Oh, no, you got to do what you got to do.
Absolutely.
So I'll have to get on Tiffany's friends list on Facebook, or else exchange email addresses offline so that I can send her some of the stuff to help speed up the getting her onto your own show. Which show are you doing? Do you have a name for
it yet?
Okay.
I haven't named it yet. I'm working on that, but it's going to be a news show. So I'm really excited about that. I'm actually waiting for my new fiber optic super fast internet to finish being installed in the neighborhood once we get that. I'm so excited. I live in the mountains, and we have, like, it's the snail mail version of internet. It's kind of awful. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, if you're, we'll have to find each other on Facebook. Are you on Facebook?
Already,
I am.
Already helped you guys.
Oh, okay. Okay, so I'll contact you and send you some of the Freedomizer information. Dave has the official training stuff, but mine is kind of unofficial, but hopefully it'll get you a boost, you know, to get a jump start on it.
I think we've talked before on the Barefoot is Legal show. If not, it was probably on Proof's show. So
it could have been that too. I don't know. So I'm barefoot right now. I do most of my barefooting indoors because I live in Arizona and the ground's too hot large part of the year.
You know, I mean, I'm not a full timer. But I want to have the option. If I want to go barefoot, I do. If I don't, I don't. You know, I live in Georgia.
Yeah.
It gets hot here too. So, you know, it's just nice to have that option, especially at certain kind of local places that you know are barefoot friendly. So
My family thinks I'm wacky.
Oh, not in my family, because we're all Southerners, so we're just, you know, we never wear shoes in the house and in the yard, you know, stuff like that. So, well, let's go ahead and take this other caller and see what they have to say.
Okay.
Hi, Paula, you're on the Barefoot is Legal show.
Hi, ladies. How are you?
Great, thanks.
All right. Okay. I'm going to mute myself here so that I can finish my mad dash before it's showtime.
Well, enjoy your carpet shampooing, Proof.
Thank you, Proof.
All right. Thank you. If I get a chance, I'll come back. Just leave me in mute.
Okay. So, Paula, what did you want to talk about today?
Oh, I just wanted to come in and say that I really admire everyone that is fighting for the right to be barefoot. I truly believe in it. And like you, lady, said, going barefoot in the home is all I do. I love being barefoot. I especially enjoy being barefoot when I garden because I like to dig my feet in the earth. And I feel it brings like a healing power to your body to be able to connect with the earth and our soul.
Oh, it absolutely does.
I think our souls to our feet, the reason they gave that word soul to the bottom of your feet is because it connects with your soul. It's an opening to our bodies. And I feel...
That is a very good way to look at it. I might have to use that. Can I steal that from you and use it?
Absolutely.
That is I never thought of that. That's a great way to look at it.
Right. You know, there's a lot of healing methods that you use to put on the bottom of your feet, like, you know, raw onion. I've heard of people, you know, putting raw onion on the bottom of their feet, and it brings healing power.
I've done that with my son.
The bottom of our feet are very important to bring nutrients. And you know, I've even seen where people that are suffering from epilepsy, and they do a cannabis treatment with cannabis oil, they administer the cannabis oil on the bottom of the feet, and it enters the body and stops the seizures immediately.
Excuse me, pardon. That's amazing.
So, yeah, I think the bottom of our feet are, like, definitely the main entrance to, you know, healing our body and replenishing it.
Absolutely. Well, there's so many kind of folk remedies that they talk about using, you know, on your feet. Like, I know I've done it on my feet, on my little boy's feet, rub raw onion, raw garlic. I've put Vicks, put a pair of socks on. Proof and I have actually been talking about essential oils off and on for, I guess, about a year and a half. And a lot of the essential oils, they tell you, hey, rub them on your feet, put a pair of socks on. So, but for me, it's really even more basic than that. Like I said, I got started with the barefooting after I read the Earthing book, which I love and I highly recommend. You know, you read it and you're like, oh, that's why. Because I tell you what, like, you know, if I get a sinus infection or a cold or something like that, and I was noticing that, you know, if I was feeling really crummy and then, you know, I would go hiking or something in the woods because I live in the mountains. And I just feel so much better when I'm barefoot in nature, especially if I can add water to that. You know, for whatever reason, I guess it's the negative ions. But, you know, when you stand barefooted in a rushing stream or at the base of a waterfall or the ocean, oh, my gosh, you know, who doesn't love swimming in the ocean or standing at the edge of the shoreline? It just makes you feel so good. And so, you know, you read that book or you do some of the research and you're like, okay, that makes sense now. So have you ever read the Earthing book or heard of it?
You know, I've read articles on Earthing online, but I haven't actually read that Earthing book, but I might have to check that out.
Yeah, I recommend it. Clint Ober is one of the primary authors. There were two other authors for that book, but he was kind of the primary one that came up with the whole concept of it. But it's a very good book. I recommend it. It's available as a paperback book. You can order it off of Amazon or you can download it. I have it downloaded on my Kindle.
Nice.
But it's Clinton Ober, Martin Zucker, and Stephen Sinatra are the authors.
I would definitely have to check that out.
Now, I will say, I will say that in certain groups, barefoot type groups, talking about earthing can be very polarizing. But, you know, I mean, if we're doing the barefoot lifestyle and you've heard people say, you know, some of the comments like, oh, aren't you afraid you're going to get stepped on glass? You know, even just the barefoot lifestyle is very polarizing. But it's funny because lots of barefooters, they either love the concept of earthing or they totally hate it. So it can be very polarizing. But hey, I'm like, you know what? Whatever brings you to this lifestyle, I'm okay with. You know? So
yeah. We have a really good friend who he doesn't like to show his feet, and he always wears shoes wherever he goes. And we took him to the coast not too long ago, and I said, Travis, you have to take your shoes off. I go, I'm making you take your shoes off. And so he did. He took his shoes off. We walked along the beach, and he felt so energized and replenished from that that he wants to keep going back to the coast and doing the earthing at the coast. I told you. And now when he comes over to visit, the first thing he does is take his shoes off when we go out on the patio or whatever. I've gotten him to take his shoes off.
Well, very good. Now, when he first started, did he have a lot of questions? You know, we all hear, oh, what if you step on glass? Or, you know, what if you trip? You know, things like that. You can get a lot of questions about, oh, I'm so afraid of getting parasites. I don't know.
I think more of his reason for not wanting to take his shoes off was just a little bit of shame of showing his feet. You know, I think people have shame in exposing their feet. You know, some people might have like a little crooked toe or whatever, and he's just always, you know, kept his shoes on. And he didn't, like when we went to the beach, he did not want to take his shoes off. And I made him, I go, you have to take your shoes off.
You have to. You know, especially all the ladies, we're like, oh, we get a free pedicure just walking on the sand. It not softens your skin. Yeah, I can't imagine wearing shoes on the beach. That just seems such a foreign concept to me.
Right.
But I guess, well, and honestly, I mean, I'm not terribly self-conscious, and I honestly have hobbit feet. They look like hobbit feet. And I have a toe that I've broken three times, and it's about as crooked as anything, but I don't care. I'm like, if it feels good, I'm doing it.
So. I have a crooked toe on each one of my feet. The middle toe totally curls under. And for a while, I was embarrassed of it, but I'm like, you know, I'm not going to have any shame. It was the way I was born. It's the way my feet are. And if people don't like it, then whatever.
Yeah. So, we handle those questions in stride. I'm glad that he, you know, tried it out, maybe got over his self-consciousness about his feet. And,
he did. I think the renewal that he had when we went to the coast and he took it, like, sparked him to want to take his shoes off. So now when he comes over, I tell him, take your shoes off, and he'll do it.
Absolutely.
So I don't know if he takes them off other places, but when he comes to my home, I tell him he has to take his shoes off.
Yeah. So, I mean, living here in the South, I'm in Georgia, and, you know, it's like nobody wears shoes in the house. If you do, then, you know, I haven't met you yet, probably, because the minute we get home, it's just kind of a thing. You know, you get to your house, you kick off your shoes, and, you know, I just don't see a whole lot of reason in wearing shoes in the house. Like, you know, in my home is one place I want to be 100% comfortable. So. But, and I will say that, you know, I live in the mountains, and when I get the comment, you know, from people about, oh, you know, I would never go barefoot, I'm afraid of parasites, I just tell them, I'm like, you know what, I live on a mountain, it's got bears. I mean, I routinely see bears, deer, turkey, you know, I have a possum that lives in my woodshed, you know, I mean, and the woods is basically their bathroom. They don't go to the outhouse. And I have never had a problem with parasites. So that's not something I'm terribly concerned about.
Yeah, I think our bodies become accustomed to our lifestyles, and we develop immunities, you know, immunities that we're maybe not even aware of. Conditioning our bodies to adapt to our environment. So if you're always wearing shoes and then all of a sudden you take them off, you might be more susceptible to something, you know,
mm-hmm.
than if you were constantly going barefoot.
And you just have to get used to it. So, but
right.
I mean, gosh, you know, when I was growing up, all us neighborhood kids, we spent our whole summer barefoot just about. So, yeah, growing up. Oh my gosh.
Things are so different when I was little.
It's part of the reason we moved up here was so my child could have some of the experiences I had growing up. Now, I'm not saying I want him to have all the experiences. My mom, she fussed at us one day. We had found, we would walk around in the woods. We were barefooted. It was summertime, you know. And, you'd disappear after breakfast and not be seen again until mom called you in for dinner. And it was just a good way to spend the summer just exploring and getting all that fresh air and exercise. Although I will say the one time that my friends and I was in maybe second grade, we discovered this kind of mud hole in the woods where, you know, we'd had a lot of rain and it had filled in. And, you know, in Georgia, we have like this bright red clay that when it turns into mud, it stains everything forever and ever. And my mom heard all this commotion one day and wandered, you know, into the woods to see what we were doing. And there were about five of us. And not only were we barefoot, but we had all stripped down to our underwear and were swimming in this awesome mud hole. And of course, her first thought was, oh my gosh, my children are in their underwear. And her second thought was, oh my gosh, copperhead snakes are probably in this water. She wasn't real happy about that. But you know what? It builds your immune system. I'm sticking with that story. It builds your immune system. It feels good.
That's a natural mud bath. And people pay hundreds of dollars to take one of those mud baths.
Now, I will say, there is actually one time I have ever looked at something and thought, you know, I might not want to spend a whole lot of time barefoot there. I don't know if you've heard of them, but they're kind of an epidemic in South America and certain countries in Africa, and they're called the Chigo flea. And I think they call them jiggers down there. Now, we have chiggers, which are just, you know, bugs that bite us and make us itch, but this is jiggers with a J. And it was about a year ago I happened across an article, you know, doing some barefoot research, and it was about these chigo fleas, and they call them jiggers. And so that's what I was seeing. And I will say that makes me a little nervous. So I'm not sure if I ever travel, you know, to some of the sub-Saharan countries in Africa, I might actually want to wear some shoes in the sand, because it's apparently a sand flea that just notoriously burrows into people's feet. But again, I mean, these people are barefoot all the time just because they don't have shoes.
Yeah, I've seen images of that where they have to, like, actually, like, dig them out of the foot and they burrow themselves in the bottom of the foot.
Yeah, it's kind of a big deal. So, you know, anytime anybody says, oh, I would be afraid, you know, I might get parasites, I'm like, well, you know what, we don't live in that country, so I'm not worrying about it. But that is the one, you know, one of the places I think I might be convinced to wear shoes in the sand. But, you know, I mean, but then you think, well, you know, I mean, obviously the people that live there get them, but it doesn't seem like such an issue for them. I guess it's like, you know, people that live in Florida and maybe get hookworms due to cat feces in the sand. And it's like, well, you know, what are you going to do? Be afraid your whole life, or are you just going to enjoy your life? So.
Right. And we've all had a tick on our body. And, you know, what do? You remove the tick. I think in those severe cases where their feet are infested, it's because they didn't have, you know, the knowledge of how to get them out or...
Mm-hmm.
And then it just becomes infested.
Tell me, because I am such a texture-oriented person. It's how I eat. It's how I, you know, how I do things. I like different textures. What is your favorite texture to feel on your feet, would you say?
I think my favorite thing is to put my feet at the shoreline of any, like, lake or stream. I love to just sit, like, on the shoreline of any kind of body of water and bury my feet in the sand and let the water kind of splash on my feet. So I would say sand mixed with water.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah, I pretty much, any place that has water in it, oh my gosh, I love. And I know that it makes our feet softer. When you barefoot in water, it makes your skin softer. And so then things like, you know, gravel parking lots tend to feel a little more intense because, it, you know, the water softens your skin. But it's just so worth it to me. My favorite, I think, would be standing in a mountain stream. I don't know what it is. I guess it's just a combination of the water and the pebbles and, like, the negative ions just making you feel really good. But I will say my second favorite texture is, like, thick moss. I just love it. And, again, it's because that moss is so moist. And, you know, it retains water really well, and it just feels so good.
My neighbor growing up, she grew clover grass throughout her yard, and that was the most amazing thing to walk on. It was just like walking on pillows. It was so I used to love to go visit her and help her with her garden when I was little, just so I could walk on her clover grass. And it was like, I don't know what type of clover grass it was, but there were real tiny little clovers, like little itty-bitty clovers. And it was basically a ground cover, but she did that instead of regular grass. And, oh, my God, it was absolutely gorgeous, too. She took really good care of it and watered it regularly. And so it was really healthy, and it is the most amazing thing to walk on.
Absolutely. One thing I will say, you know, if you've ever been online and, you know, done the research, you know, I do it every so often. I get online, you know, Google, oh, barefooted lifestyle or going barefoot is healthy, you know, stuff like that. It seems to be there is so much research out there about how barefooting is such a healthy thing. You know, it builds up your immune system. It's good for your posture. It's good for your, you know, your toes to not be cramped up all the time. And there are just, it seems like a lot of people agree that barefooting is just super healthy, but a lot of the articles have the same, you know, at the end of the article, they tell you about all this awesome, you know, benefit to going barefoot. And then they're always like, oh, well, we should say that, you know, it's really hard to go barefoot in some places. And I'm hoping that with proofs, activism in the Barefoot is Legal website, that eventually, you know, that mindset is going to go away. Oh, you know, barefooting is awesome, but you can't do it so much. So I am hoping that one day soon, that this will be kind of, you know, kind of a thing like it was in the 60s. So that would be nice. So, now, tell me, what are your do you have any places in town where you enjoy going barefoot?
You know, we live in a rural area, but for the most part, we're in the center of town. But we have a lot of friends that have big farms and cattle ranches and that sort of thing. So whenever we go visit, I love to go barefoot on their ranch, and I kick my shoes off every single time. So it's enjoyable. We have these little stickers. They're called goat horns, and they're not fun to get in your feet. But you learn to walk carefully, you know, as you're going through any kind of brush or anything on the farm. I live in Oregon, and I don't know if these things are common anywhere else, but they're very common here. And so, I step on them when I go outside to take out the trash sometimes. So they grow everywhere here. You just have to learn how to, you know, step carefully as you're going outside. You don't run or stomp hard. You just kind of walk with ease when you're walking through the grass. But yeah, I really enjoy going to the water for the most part. And we have tons of lakes and streams and rivers around where we live, so we head to the water as much as we can.
Now, I've been to Oregon a few times. I'm not sure I've ever seen a goat horn sticker.
They're gnarly.
Are they more in the field
like
or in the wood area?
They're worse than a thumbtack because they have like a spear point. And yeah, they don't feel good.
My.
And they're so hard. Even if you're wearing like flip-flops or something, they'll go right through your flip-flop.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Here, we just have all kinds of, you know, sticker bushes and thorn bushes in Georgia. My parents live on coastal South Carolina, and one thing they have there, and we always just call them stickers. It's like this little, tiny little ball, and they're only the size of your pinky fingernail, but they're covered in thorns, and they're all over the beach, and it's just always kind of a hazard. But really, you know, I'm just so used to being barefoot and being on, you know, that beach in their area that, you know, stepping on one isn't this horrible. It's not like stepping on a Lego or anything. You just, you notice a little prick, you pick it out, and you're done.
Right.
They sound pretty bad.
I have tons of friends on Facebook that live in our community, and I posted a picture, Oregon's worst nightmare, is a picture of a goat horn, and everyone laughed. They thought that was the funniest thing because they're pretty gnarly. But, I mean, you just have to be careful where you walk, and, you know, if you're walking through some brush barefoot, you just need to walk slowly.
Yeah.
When we have backyard chickens, and I always go out there barefoot to feed them, so you just have to kind of walk gently through the grass.
Yeah, so, and I do think that being barefoot makes us more aware of our surroundings. It's like, you know, since those nerves are being so stimulated, it just seems like it makes me more aware. The last time we were in Oregon, we actually, we were right by Bridge of the Gods, I think that's right. And I actually hiked, I mean, it was a small section of the PCT in Oregon. It was maybe a mile, but I did it barefoot. And I just noticed the textures of the pine needles are different out there. And this little, you know, like a little black racer snake or something crossed the path in front of me. And I don't know, I actually sensed that he was on the path in front of me, you know, and I think it's just because everything is more attuned when you're barefoot. It makes you more aware.
You're connecting to the vibrations of everything around that's going around on the ground.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but, you know, most shoes have rubber soles, and rubber disconnects the electricity that flows from the bottom of your feet into the earth. So, I mean, any kind of rubber sole shoe is putting a barrier between the electric connection that we have with the earth.
Yeah. So it's just a really good, you know, lifestyle to explore, because, you know, more and more people every day are turning towards natural remedies and more of a natural approach to healthy living. So, and like I said, I mean, I'm not, you know, a full-time barefooter by any means, and I really admire the people that are. That's just not for me. You know, there are times I enjoy wearing shoes. You know, a black asphalt parking lots in the summer get really hot in Georgia, more so
in
Arizona, I'm sure. So, but, you know, it's nice to have the option, and that's why, you know, I do promote the lifestyle. I tell, you know, all my friends about barefooting and earthing and things like that, just because it's nice to have the option, and I wish that I had the option more places. So where I live, we have me and my friends hang out a lot at this coffee shop here in town, and it's run by a group of very free-spirited thinkers. You know, you could call them hippies. Actually, one of them is a leftover hippie from the 60s. So, and I tell you what, I am in there barefoot a lot, just because I know that they are not going to give me any grief about being barefoot. So it's a really good place for me to take people that, you know, they've read the book, the Earthing book, or they've, you know, they've been on the Barefoot is Legal website because I directed them there. And if they have a question or if they're, you know, wanting to try it out, but they're just not sure, I'm like, look, the coffee house. I promise it's going to be okay. I'm like, I'll be okay. You know, it's a really good place to take people, you know, if they're just like, maybe this is their first time going barefoot and they're not at home. And I'm like, I promise this is going to be okay. I promise. So, do you have a place like that where you know that you can go and nobody is really going to, you know, raise their eyebrows?
You know, we live in a very hippie-ish area. It's a hippie community all the way. So,
uh-huh.
I mean, there's a town that's part of our community called Ashland, and they're very earthy people. And I would say probably 80% of the people that go to the little coffee house there are barefoot. It's just, you know, a very open society, and, you know, people are very free thinkers. And so I don't think the barefootedness in our community is as much shunned as it is in other communities. It's it's a little more accepted where I live. You know,
yeah.
If you're
so
going into the supermarket or something like that, people might look at you weird, but there's definitely places where you feel comfortable being barefoot.
Yeah. So, yeah, where I live, I'm in this little town in the far northeast Georgia mountains. I'm in a town called Sauti Nacoochee, and there's a valley basically between the mountains that is the Sauti. So, like, one side of the valley is Sauti, the other side is Nacoochee, and that's how it got its name. But, yeah, it's funny because Sauti, the actual town of Sauti is like an artist town. It's been featured on our local public broadcasting channel and things like that. It's known as an artist town, lots of free-spirited, free thinkers. Now, about 11 miles south of me is the town of Cleveland. And the people that live in Cleveland are a lot more conservative politically, you know, religiously, things like that. And but still, I mean, we're in the country, you know. I would say the two main things here are either art or agriculture. You know, we've got a lot of farms here. And so even if you're in Cleveland, you know, it's going to be noticed more, but I think that it doesn't raise as many eyebrows as it would, especially among the kids, because, you know, it's just, we have, you know, a lot of farmers, a lot of country people, and that's just what they're used to. So it's kind of nice, honestly. I don't go grocery shopping barefooted. I just, you know, I don't do that. But nobody really bats an eye. I mean, certainly not at the coffee house. You know, the little sandwich shops around here, they don't really seem to make an issue. Or maybe I'm just really lucky, but it's just kind of not an issue where I live. So, and it's nice. And I love where I live because I'm so close to, you know, the Appalachian Trail and, you know, state parks, national parks. You know, I'm in the mountains. So I can, you know, I mean, in my neighborhood, I can walk a couple of minutes and I'm at a little creek. And it's just a really good area to enjoy the barefooting lifestyle.
Nice.
So now, Ashland, are you, I haven't been there, I don't think, but you're near the PCT, aren't you?
Yes, yes, it goes right through our community. There's not a there's a section where you actually have to walk on the freeway because there's not a pathway, but the it goes
okay.
right all the way through, straight through our community from one end to the other. We have about probably 7 towns within our community that we call the Rogue Valley, and Ashland's probably the most famous town in our area. They have the world famous Shakespeare Festival there, and so it's a very artsy town, and you know that's a town where you could pretty much walk barefoot into almost any store in Ashland, and nobody would raise any eyebrows.
Yeah. Now, for listeners who don't know what the PCT is, do you want to explain to them what the PCT is?
The Pacific Crest Trail, that's what it stands for. It starts in Northern California. I'm not sure exactly its starting point, but it goes all the way up to the border of Canada. It's a very famous trail for hikers to hike. You usually have to have supplies brought into if you want to hike the whole entire thing. So you have to have like restocking points where either you meet somebody or you can go into town and buy more supplies. So you can't do the whole thing with just the pack on your back.
Yeah.
So.
It's like the West Coast version of the Appalachian Trail, which I have, you know, here, goes from just west of me. It starts at Springer Mountain, which is near Dahlonega, goes all the way up to Maine. So the PCT is basically the West Coast version of that. I'm honestly not sure which one is longer, but they're very similar. Honestly, I think it might be the PCT. I'm not a through hiker by any means. My husband is definitely the hiker in our family, and he is not a through hiker just because, you know, he has a job. He does a lot of section hiking on the Appalachian Trail. I've hiked a few sections with him, shorter sections, I admit. but I enjoy barefoot hiking, and the Appalachian Trail is one of my favorite places to do that. So
nice.
The reason I don't tend to hike with my husband a lot is because, you know, when he hits the trail, he is there to get miles. That's his goal. He's like, I am hiking this section today, and it is, you know, an 18-mile section, and I need to get it done. And my style of hiking is more like, oh, look at this awesome stream. Let's stop for a minute. I want to get my feet wet and play in the mud. And then, you know, we get a little further down the trail. Oh, look, there's a waterfall. I want to take my shoes off and play a little more. Oh, and, you know, let's look for salamanders. Oh, look at this awesome tree. You know, so I tend to kind of slowly meander. And, you know, he's on the trail to book it and get miles. So I don't do a whole lot of hiking with him just because I tend to slow him way, way, way down. But it's fun. I feel very lucky that we are so close to, you know, this world famous trail, and I can hike it barefoot, and it's just one of the things I enjoy. So do you, you know, do any hiking on the PCT? Do you section or, you know,
you know,
take a
weekend? We've lived in Oregon now for 6 years, and we have this beautiful plateau near us. It's only about 20-minute drive to the base of the plateau. It's called the Table Rocks, and I've hiked that. I've hiked to the top of that. Oh my God, what an amazing view from up there! It's just absolutely gorgeous. I have to say I didn't do it barefoot, but I haven't done a whole lot of hiking. We've done a lot of lake and river going, but the only thing I've hiked is the Table Rocks. And it's a field trip that all the fifth graders do in our community. Every single fifth grade class hikes the Table Rocks, which is a great experience for them.
That's fabulous. That's very good. So,
You know, that's another thing I actually suggest to people that want to try out the lifestyle, but they're just not sure. You know, sometimes they'll do that before they even work up to going to the coffee house or something. You know, I say, hey, let's go hike a trail. And I promise you it's going to be fine. You know, take off your shoes, I promise. You know, and you just kind of get them to go on the trail. And I'm like, look, we're going to see other hikers. They're going to say, oh, you're hiking barefoot, and that's going to be the end of it, you know? But it's such a good way, especially if you focus more on the earthing rather than maybe the activist lifestyle. I mean, that's my original way I got into the lifestyle was earthing. And so I do tend to focus on that more, is just getting out there in nature, because that's such an important part of it. Is getting out there in nature and, you know, hiking barefoot or, you know, oh, let's go wade in the river barefoot. And, you know, and it's so funny, especially a lot of the people here, it's like they barefoot more than they realize. Because I'm like, you know, I mean, we'll spend a whole day on the Chattahoochee River here. And, you know, you think nothing of, oh, you know, you spend the day on the river, you see your friends, we're all barefooted, we're all splashing around. And then we might, you know, walk to our car and go to Subway, and we're all wet and drippy, and so you don't put shoes on. And I point out, I'm like, you know, we spend more time barefoot than you realize. And when you point that out to them, they're like, oh, you're absolutely right. And I'm like, so, you know, then maybe you can take that a little further. Go to the coffee house. Go to the sandwich shop. Nobody's going to raise it up. So, but, yeah.
Have you seen the barefoot sandals, the little crocheted decorations you wear on your toe and that wraps around your ankle?
I have worn those. I have some that my mom gave me. I have some barefoot sandals, but they're not crochet. They're made with stretchy cord, and they're beaded. They have beads and seashells on them and stuff. Yeah, she was in a wedding about 2 years ago, and it was a beach wedding, and the bride had everybody wear the barefoot sandals on the beach.
Nice.
Now, I am going to say, I wore them a couple times because they are really pretty, and I've seen some really pretty barefoot sandals. They're not comfortable to me because they've got that part that goes around your toe, and it's just noticeable to me. And so, like, if I'm going to be barefoot, I'd rather just be barefoot. But
right.
I do see a lot of people, you know, and maybe that's the step that a lot of people need. They're like, well, you know, I'll wear these. And, I mean, they are really pretty. And maybe that's just kind of like.
We have a friend that crochets them, and she sells them. Usually, she
so
sells
pretty.
Them usually, like, at the farmer's market.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I imagine those might feel better than the beaded ones. The beaded ones are just really noticeable to me. And they're not uncomfortable. It's just that I noticeably have something on my foot, you know.
Yeah.
And if I'm going to go barefoot, I might as well just be barefoot. So, but I do think that barefoot sandals or, you know, the barefoot type shoes, it provides a really good, it's like a, I look at it as a baby step for people that are wanting to try the lifestyle, and maybe they're not ready to go full barefoot, maybe to the grocery store or, you know, so it provides kind of like a camouflaging, you know, and I would rather somebody at least do that than, you know, be wearing tight shoes like heels or something, you know. So it's an important step, I would say.
They we have a summer festival every year in September, and that's where I met this gal. She was one of our vendors, and we've become good friends, and she does really good with those. She goes to all the farmers markets, and people just love those.
Mm-hmm.
But it definitely is a baby step to going barefoot. I look at it more like it's kind of like a jewelry.
That's what it is. It's like jewelry for your feet. Because they are so pretty.
So have you lived in Georgia your whole life?
Yes, I grew up in Georgia. Gosh, I've been here. I'm 43 years old, and we moved here like when I was one with my parents.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, I grew up here my whole life. Briefly, when I first started working right out of college, I briefly lived in Dallas, Texas for almost 2 years. It's where I met my husband. We came back to Georgia, and then later in our marriage, we moved to Utah for 2 years. Oh, and I loved Utah. Dallas, I liked my friends in Dallas. Where I was working as a flight attendant. My husband was a pilot. And the base in Dallas was, it was a smaller base. We knew everybody. You know, we all hung out. It was really nice. But, I mean, I'm a Georgia girl, and Texas is flat. So I was very glad to get back to Georgia.
Yeah.
Utah, I loved Utah.
Nice.
I would go back out.
Did you live
in
near Salt Lake? Or?
We did. We lived east of there in Sandy, and I loved it. You know, it had more of what I'm used to here, especially where I live in Georgia. It had, you know, forests and woods and mountains. The mountains there are a lot bigger. But travel is such a big part of my life. So
nice.
You know, I like where I live, but I like to travel too. So
yeah.
We've been to Oregon, you know, and I used to fly there when I was a flight attendant at the Salt Lake base. We flew there a lot, but and I love, like, the coast of Oregon is so different than what we have here. Because you guys have a lot of rocks and tide pools,
yeah,
and things like that on your beaches. And,
mm-hmm,
of course, here it's more sand. We have sand beaches. So that's different. And, again, it provides a different texture for my bare feet. You know, I like walking on the rocks and the pebbles, and oh, the seaweed out there feels so good. The big, like the big kelp seaweed, feels so good on my bare feet.
In Oregon, you don't say you're going to the beach. You always say you're going to the coast because
the
beaches are very rocky, so it's really not much of a beach.
Because they're so rocky and they have the tide pools and you know,
mm-hmm,
they have things out there we don't really have here, but like the anemones that have the spikes on them and things like that you could possibly step on, but you know what? I never have. So, and I think it's just because being barefoot so much has made me more aware of where I'm stepping. So, and I'll tell you another thing, is that when I first started being a flight attendant, and traveling, you know, different places that I've never been to before, some flight attendants really have a hard time adjusting to that lifestyle. And for,
mm-hmm,
me, it really wasn't a big deal. And I think it's because I grew up barefoot so much that I do think it strengthened my immune system, you know. And there are a lot of articles out there that talk about one of the benefits is that it really does. It strengthens your immune system. The first time I went to Mexico, the other flight attendant, the B flight attendant, got sick as a dog. And it really wasn't an issue for me. I've never actually gotten sick in a foreign country, like from a gastrointestinal standpoint. You know, I mean, I've been someplace. Like the first time I went to Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, I actually got the flu, but it's certainly not because I had a weakened immune system. It's just that, you know, their seasons are different from ours. But, going to Mexico, going to Canada, going places like that, I don't get the GI issues. Another thing is that since you know, we did travel a lot. You're going to different time zones. And also, I mean, when we vacation, because we get the benefits, we vacation out of country just as often as we vacation in country. And jet lag isn't a huge deal to me like it is to a lot of people. And I think it's because when I go someplace, within about, you know, an hour of landing, I'm barefooting. I'm going barefoot on their sidewalks, on the grass, in, you know, a city park or whatever, because I swear the best cure for jet lag when you're in a new location in a new time zone is a cold shower and barefooting. So that's my kind of cure-all. I swear barefooting just, it's like it resets your body's clock to that time zone.
That's interesting. Yeah, because I would imagine, you know, earthing in different environments, it helps you adapt to the environment right away if you're earthing, you know, in that soil.
Yeah. So there's just I just urge anybody to try, and I tell them, you know, if people that I know are traveling out of country for the first time, I'll tell them, I'll say, look, when you get there, don't take a nap. I'm like, I promise you, go barefoot for 30 minutes in a city park and then go take a shower and you're going to be good. So there's just, yeah. There are so many articles about how barefooting is so good for, you know, for your body. It just has so many benefits. I tell people, I'm like, literally go, you know, Yahoo, Google it, whatever. I'm like, you'll immediately come up with so many articles that talk about how it's so good for you. You know, it strengthens your leg muscles. It strengthens your feet. It improves your posture. You know, they're just, it actually prevents injuries more than it causes injuries. I'm like, okay, you know, I step on a splinter, it's not a big deal, but you know, you sprain your ankle because you tripped in heels and you're down for the count for a couple of weeks.
Right. Yeah, the posture, too, is very important for the immune system because when your back is aligned properly, everything's flowing properly, and your body can heal much quicker and defend itself. And I do notice since I've been barefooting, my immune system's been tremendous. I haven't been sick since we've lived here. And I didn't start barefooting until we moved to Oregon just because I grew up in Los Angeles. And, you know, you just don't go barefoot in Los Angeles. But when we moved to Oregon, I dove into nature like full force. And that's when I started earthing and barefooting. And my immune system is so strong. You know, I used to get little cold sores on my lips. I haven't had one in 6 years. And I just know my immune system's at its best right now.
Yeah. I just truly urge, when I talk about it with people, the first thing I tell them, I'm like, look up the earthing book, and I'm like, and do the research online, because there are so many, you know, not even, I mean, you'll see plenty of, you know, bloggers and things like that that promote the lifestyle, but even orthopedists and doctors and things like that, they're like, you know what, get exposed to some of this stuff. We can't, you know, wrap ourselves in bubble wrap and never meet a germ and then expect to be healthy. So I just urge people, do the research. You know, even I was shocked, and, you know, really I wouldn't have been, but I was when I first started looking at the lifestyle. There are barefoot runners that run, you know, races, foot races, marathons, 5Ks, things like that, barefoot.
I just saw an article of a girl that won a 5K. She came in first place and she did it barefoot. I'm like, that is just incredible. I think that's awesome.
Yeah. So there are just so many ways that it benefits us. Let's see.
Sorry, I knocked something over.
Oh, no, you're fine. So I'm checking every so often to make sure we have a We don't have any more callers. I'm thinking it might be time to run an ad. I might do that real quick. Do you want me to put you on hold?
What time does your show go till?
I've got about nine more minutes. And
okay.
then it's
I'll
gonna
stay on
be
the line with you.
Yeah, let me run an ad real quick.
Okay.
And we'll be right back.
Sounds good.
You're an activist. You have a cause and an idea. But you also have lots of questions. You need help. After all, teams have coaches, corporations have consultants, and even politicians have campaign managers. But who do activists turn to? The Solutions Institute. We are a collection of professionals and activists from across the political spectrum. Our goal is to teach, motivate, and put all the necessary tools for activism in your hands without charge. Learn more or submit your project at solutions-institute.org.
Did you know that every time you swipe your debit card, those behind-the-scenes transaction fees make the big banks even richer? In 2016 alone, these fees added up to $60 billion. Yes, that's billion with a B. Well, what if there was a way to have the convenience of a debit card, but reroute those fees from the banksters to organizations actually doing good in the world? Organizations that protect the environment or feed hungry children? What if your swipes could literally change the world? Well, Groundswell SPC has found a way to do just that. We've designed a Visa debit card program that shares transaction fees with your favorite cause. Groundswell partners with nonprofit organizations that promote the card to their supporters. Their supporters then use the card to power the mission of the nonprofit. It's a win-win-win for everyone, except the big banks, of course. Groundswell is about to launch its first cards into market, and we're inviting you to be part of this movement as an investor in the company. Go to wefunder.com/groundswellcard to learn more. Set up a free WeFunder account and invest in Groundswell today and get your money on mission.
All right, so Paula, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
All right, we are back. Just wanted to run a couple of ads before we this show ends, which is in about 5 minutes. So, and coming up next, it'll be, I believe it's Tia Severino's show. So that's a pretty good one. So one thing I do want to talk to you about is some of the dangers. Dangers associated with wearing shoes. We've mentioned, a couple of them, like, the potential to potentially have increased injury when you're wearing a shoe, especially with a rubber sole, so you can't really feel kind of what's going on underneath that shoe, feel what you're stepping on. Obviously, high heels are a danger. When I was a flight attendant, our company actually put a cap on the high heels that you were allowed to wear. We couldn't wear anything over 2 inches, because we would occasionally have turbulence, especially in the summertime when pop-up showers are common, pop-up thunderstorms, and they didn't want us, hitting turbulence in the air, twisting an ankle due to, stiletto heels and potentially being out of work for 2 or 3 weeks. Another thing that people don't think about is that driving barefoot is actually better than driving in high heels because, in high heels or in thick-soled shoes like platform shoes, you're not really able to feel those gas pedals or the brake pedals or the clutch if you drive a manual as well as you would if you're driving barefoot. Have you heard,
yes,
like, Paula, have you had a friend that actually had a road incident due to the fact that they were driving in heels or, oh my gosh, flip-flops, driving in flip-flops? Because, you know, those things tend to get caught. They slide around. It's so bad.
Yeah, my husband had a horrible injury. He had on a pair of Crocs. He got out of the car, and somehow his Croc got caught on the pedal, and his foot, as he was pulling it out, sliced. We had an older car at the time. It sliced the side of his foot on the inside, and he had to get major surgery. It sliced it so bad, and it was, you know, due to the shoe getting caught on the pedal, and he was just getting out of the car. But, yeah, with high heels, you can slip off the gas pedal, slip off the brake. I have to wear shoes to work. I work in the office, but when I drive, I take my shoes off. And I sometimes take my shoes off at the office. You know, if we don't have a client coming in, at my desk, I'll take my shoes off as soon as I sit down. But, yeah, it's dangerous to drive in certain high-heel shoes.
Mm-hmm, yeah. I don't know if you heard about it or remember it, but it was about a year ago, there was actually a person jailed. This happened in the UK. She was driving while wearing flip-flops. Now, I will say she was going about 90 miles an hour. I don't know what that converts to in kilometers, but she was going really fast. But she was wearing flip-flops, and apparently those were a factor in her losing control of the car.
Wow.
Anyway, so that's another thing to think about. I do think we need to end our show now. We're coming up on, we've got about 40 seconds before the next show. But for those of you that have been listening to Paula and I have this dialogue about the barefoot lifestyle, you know, all I can say again, do the research, look at the benefits of going barefoot versus the dangers of wearing shoes, especially while driving. So thank you so much for calling in, Paula. Have a great rest of the weekend.
Same to you. Thank you for having me.